This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Matt Simon is a journalist who writes Wired's Absurd Creature of the Week column and is the author of The Wasp That Brainwashed the Caterpillar, Evolution's Most Unbelievable Solutions to Life's Biggest Problems. He spoke with Cincinnati Zoo director Thane Maynard about just some of evolution's most unbelievable and ingenious solutions to the problems of everyday life.
Hi, Matt. This is Thane Maynard.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, and thanks for spending a few minutes with us, because I really love your book.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
The thing I think that's so great about it is the spirit that you do it in. You know, you sort of celebrate that evolution's a 4-billion-year tug of war, but you also do it with a great sort of perspective that I think invites anybody, not just evolutionary biologists, to keep reading.
Yeah, I tried to make it fun, even though I guess a big thing that comes out of it is that there's lots and lots of death in the animal kingdom, as you well know. But there's a lot of majesty in all these beautiful solutions that evolution has come up with to certain problems that are absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of listeners might be familiar with you from other things that you've done. You're a columnist at Wired Magazine.
Right.
And among the things you do there is you write about, which I totally love, Absurd Creatures of the Week. Tell a bit about that.
Yeah, so that was a column I started a couple of years ago. The book actually came out of that. Mm-hmm. It was just a weekly look at a single creature, and what I would do is call sometimes just the one human being on the planet who is studying this very obscure creature and talk about just kind of a profile of that animal. And through that, I began realizing that there is really no end to the number of fascinating, what you might call absurd creatures in the world. But I say that with all due reverence, because so many of these things are doing things that are just so mind-blowing. And really, it's only things that evolution in its beauty could ever produce.
Absolutely. You could have the subtitle, "You Can't Make This Stuff Up," because that's how outrageous they are.
Exactly.
Now, one of the themes that runs through it, as you said, is sometimes it's competition, sometimes it's, you know, tooth and claw, as they say. But a lot of these also have to do with mate selection and sex.
Mm-hmm.
So tell some crazy examples of that.
Yeah. So one really crazy one that I actually kicked off the book with is a marsupial called Antechinus. This looks superficially like a mouse or a rat, but it's a marsupial that calls Australia home. And the males among them get pretty badly shortchanged when it comes to mating. The mating season is only 2 weeks long, which doesn't afford the males that much time to be able to seek out very many females. So what they do is for two straight weeks, they run around willy-nilly having sex with as many females as they possibly can, pretty much nonstop. And what's happening is their testosterone levels are going crazy during this time, which means they don't need to eat. The problem with testosterone levels going that crazy, though, is things start happening to your body that you would rather not have. That includes your hair falling out. Some males will bleed internally. Mm. Some will actually go blind toward the end, yet still kind of stumble around looking for those females. And at the end of the breeding season, every single male will have died. Every single one of them. And the females are then left with a quiet, lovely quiet forest with which to raise their young. And that leaves them with a plentitude of insects to feed on, because marsupials are, of course, born very underdeveloped. So she needs to be able to produce a lot of milk to feed them. What's curious about this is it might have actually been the females that were responsible for all of this in the first place. It seems they shortened their breeding season down to those 2 weeks to better coincide with the abundance of insects in spring. So the males have found themselves in a bit of a pickle, having to mate with as many females as possible in just 2 weeks. And the amazing thing is that these females will have their babies, and some of them will be males, and they won't even get to 1 year old, because those males will the next season do their breeding and die. So it's quite the saga in the forests of Australia.
Absolutely. And species by species, there are other similar examples in the book of, as you said, evolution's tug of war. You know, the book reminds me a bit of a terrific book by a woman named Olivia Judson. And I don't know if you've run into her. She's an evolutionary biologist from England. And she wrote a book about 15 years ago called Dr. Tatiana's Sex Guide for All Creation. And it's based on very serious evolutionary biology, but it's written, as is yours, in a way that chapter by chapter, a reader can read, you know, just a few pages on a species and be completely blown away. If you're not familiar with it, you'd get a big kick out of it, or get a kick out of maybe interviewing her for Wired Magazine.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard of the book. I haven't actually read it, but I will definitely put that on my list.
The other person that your book reminds me of, who you might know if you've been in New York much, there's a remarkable artist who also does a lot of natural history art named Alexis Rockman, and his work is sort of exaggeratedly splendiferous of all the different aspects of natural history and also, frankly, of evolution. So you might want to hunt his stuff up, too. I think you'd get a big kick out of it. Maybe you could collaborate on a project.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I've read about, but I haven't seen, evidently, Absurd Creatures of the Week that I'm familiar with also has a show. Is it on the web, yeah, or where do people see that?
Yeah, you can see that on Wired.com. That comes out every Monday. It's kind of the same principle as the written column was. We pick a creature and get some footage and walk you through what makes them so unique. And this runs from insects to mammals to fish and all those sorts of things. It's kind of a menagerie of very, very odd animals.
You know, I'm so interested in this, Matt, because for many years, 30 years, I've done a daily radio spot called The 90-Second Naturalist that tells some stories about animals. And I get a lot of feedback, sometimes from experts who think I don't know what I'm doing, and sometimes when people say I talk too much about animal poop or whatever. You must get some feedback from your articles, Absurd Creatures of the Week.
I do. It's funny you should mention the poop part. This actually comes up in the book. I had an editor at Wired who once told me that I might have this weird butt fixation because I write a lot about animals that do funny things with their bums. And that's, I feel, to no fault of my own. Maybe that's unfair to me. But it turns out that a lot of weird things are happening with bums out there in the animal kingdom. And one of them in the book is actually the pearlfish, which is a kind of an eel-like fish, and what it does is it finds a sea cucumber and the desolation of the seafloor where there aren't many reefs and things like that, and finds the protection of a sea cucumber by crawling up its bum. It then feeds on its internal organs, including its gonads, and if more than one pearlfish get up there, they will actually mate inside the sea cucumber, which is an extra indignity when it has been relieved itself of its gonads. But yeah, that's the one thing that's come out of my column in my book, and I address it directly. Weird things are happening with bums in general.
Well, certainly in nature, problems get solved, but they aren't always exactly as streamlined as might seem. Some seem really exaggerated, certainly the shape of animals, how they might attract a mate, etc. Well, no kidding. I have enjoyed this book very much. I recommend it to listeners. It's called The Wasp That Brainwashed the Caterpillar, Evolution's Most Unbelievable Solutions to Life's Biggest Problems by Matt Simon. Matt, thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
And thank you for having me.
You bet. Take care. My guest has been Matt Simon from Wired Magazine.
Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. Rick Andrus was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.